Welcome into hour number two of Sports 180. Thank you for being with us. 2 hours to go. We'll talk to Will Shelton, game day on RockyTop.com. He'll be a good person to figure out the quarterback situation. So we'll ask Will, and by 1:40, everything should be figured out.
I hope so. And I also, after this game or the Florida game, do we need to update our win total machine at game day on RockyTop?
You know, after I feel like after the first loss, that's a good idea or good opportunity to kind of reset where you think things are.
Yeah, because that was a game that was a 50-50 game. It came down to the wire, obviously. I mean, Tennessee still had a shot to win that.
Yeah.
Fell just short. So I feel like our prediction was correct. What we were talking about was correct. But with me having been on the more optimistic side of things, I think like right at 7-5, do I need to reevaluate that? Can they steal another one somewhere? I mean, this definitely puts more pressure on Kentucky and Missouri if you're going to get to 7.
I mean, you have to win both of those games realistically.
Yeah, yeah, because I still am very skeptical about Ole Miss. I kind of have that one.
How come?
I think they score a lot of points. Oh. Yeah, yeah. We'll see what happens. Maybe we could block another punt. You never know.
You got Florida?
Uh-huh.
Now Josh is just naming the schedule, making Heather mad. And you tell me if I'm wrong here, but I can't imagine that your 7-5 confidence level is as high as it was a week ago.
No, it isn't, because of the missed opportunity versus Pitt.
My preseason record prediction was 6-6.
So you're spot on.
Well, I'm still hanging in there. It included a loss to Pitt. So my 6-6 record for Tennessee, going game by game, was a loss to Pitt, splitting Kentucky and Missouri, beating South Carolina and Vanderbilt.
Okay.
That gets you there.
I feel very confident about that happening, getting one of the two, Kentucky and Missouri. So getting one of those makes you feel good. I'm feeling still very confident against South Carolina. I feel great about Vanderbilt. I mean, I know they went and won, and kudos to them.
Colorado State is not good.
No,
and
not
they have a coach who shouldn't be. So that's not to take away. Vanderbilt came back to win that game. They deserve a ton of credit for how they responded after that loss to ETSU, because that was humiliating.
Yeah.
But they didn't beat Colorado. They beat Colorado State, which is bad.
Yes. And so
they also lost to an FCS team, I believe, in week one.
In week one.
Yeah.
Whew, they were one of those casualties. Yeah, that's rough. We've been there, done that. So
yeah. Nothing. I'm not in your 100% camp against Vanderbilt, but that is a game that would be inexcusable to lose.
Yes, I think so.
Inexcusable.
At this point in time, with everything out on the...
Yeah.
Unless you're decimated by injuries. Like, if you get to the point... If you get to that point of the season and the offensive line is all backups... If Ollie Lane and Kingston Harris are playing, like, next to each other on the right side of the line with whomever at center, like, you got some problems, right? I am gonna have little caveats, not excuse making, but there will be like, well,
this isn't healthy.
Know.
You're already starting to.
But I don't think we're gonna get there.
Okay, we'll pull the plug
on the conversation.
Yeah, it's Tennessee Tech week. Come on.
Yeah. Go ahead and flush that one right down the toilet. Tennessee Tech feeling good about this week, and then I want to see the Florida game. I'm not terrified of the Gators. I don't think this is the team from last year that was really good. And, you know, you don't have Jeremy Pruitt on your sideline. So those two factors have to mean you're going to at least play somewhat better, correct?
Against Florida, you would think so, considering the result the last 3 years. Yeah. And I consider this with just where – I know we have this quarterback conversation that's popped up again.
Yep.
And that always – that creates a lot of emotions. But I was on the 440 yesterday with Braden Gall, and he asked me about – he's sensing still optimism about – where the team is and how Tennessee played against Pitt. And I said part of the reason I think that fans are still optimistic is, one, it's early. The offense was able to put some points on the board, and the expectations are not that high. You know, like if you're thinking, hey, can we go 8-4? I know some have said that, but I didn't hear too much 8-4. No, 9-3. So, you know, 6-6, 7-5, that was common. And people knew that these were going to be toss-up games. So, I think you have a pretty low bar to hit this year, and that can keep, if you want to call it optimism or just, you know, hope afloat, that I think it's still there partly because of that.
Yeah, and I think, too, when you go out and look at, like, Missouri. Does Missouri really scare you at this point in time?
If you're scared of, if you're scared of playing Missouri, then you have other problems.
Yes, yeah. I don't know.
I don't think anybody's scared of playing Missouri.
Yeah, now I'm not saying Tennessee is for sure going to go into Como and win or anything like that.
Right,
but,
like Tennessee will probably be an underdog at Missouri and at Kentucky.
Yeah, but
they're
not
winnable
scared.
Games.
Yeah, not scared of those games at all. So really the only
also,
one.
But to that, we do need to point out, don't be overconfident when you play South Carolina. Because if you're sitting here saying, we can win that game. Well, then South Carolina's sitting there saying,
we can beat Tennessee.
Yeah. And Tennessee's going to be a favorite at home against South Carolina. So just kind of a reminder that it goes both ways, these conversations.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And sometimes you got to rail me back in. But, gosh, I want to see them pull off some sort of upset and then also meet somewhat optimistic expectations. If we're really sitting here talking about struggling to get to 6-6 at some point of the season,
well,
like,
what's struggling? Because if you get to 6-6, like I don't think there's an easy path to 6-6 because that means you lost six games. So there is no cruising to 6-6. You get there or you don't. So I think if you get there, you got there.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it should count no matter what.
Yeah. Like what would cruising to 6-6 be? You just lost six games, so.
I don't know.
So 6-6, I think, by record, is somewhat of a struggle.
Yeah, well, that is true. I like when you point out the facts, if we want to bust out the calculator and do some mathematics, too.
Yeah, but, like, Tennessee's had a bunch of those. I don't remember anybody saying, man, what a dominant 6-6 season that was.
I guess if you're looking at it, when you go on a game-by-game basis, if you're able to beat Missouri, can we just feel confident about the South Carolina game? I recognize that South Carolina would also see the Tennessee game as a opportunity, but if you had just won and you're looking to cook something at home, do something at home, like being confident in the South Carolina game, I think would be something that people should be able to do.
Right. Yeah, totally. Don't confuse confidence with overconfidence. You don't want that confidence to get too high.
Yeah.
Yeah. Confident that we'll win if we do these things, not confident we'll win because we show up. Tomorrow is a show up and win game. South Carolina is not a just show up and win game.
No. You're correct. Golly, when you just look at it. So
what have I done? Have I hurt your confidence? What am I doing now?
If they're doing 6-6, you're talking about, especially if they lose to Missouri. Well, if they lose to Missouri and then beat Kentucky before the Georgia game, but you got to win the last two. You're talking about four wins right up until Thanksgiving.
Yeah, if Tennessee loses next week at Florida, then I think that Missouri game is really important. Because if you go there and lose, well, then you're starting to enter must-win territory to get against a good team on the road to get a bowl win. And you don't want to play that, well, this happened, so that happened. But we saw Kentucky and Missouri this past week. I think Kentucky's better.
Kentucky is better.
It's a good game, and Missouri kept fighting there. But I think Kentucky's better.
I like their quarterback.
So you lose to Missouri, then, yeah, you've got a bit of a situation. So that game the week after going to Gainesville is important.
To quote Jay Lyford, pump the brakes. Yeah. Let's slow this mega train down. Tennessee Tech. So, Vols by 40?
Yeah, so I don't know what just happened to Heather's emotions.
Hey.
I picked Tennessee to go 6-6 with a loss to Pitt, so nothing has really changed in that prediction. Health and depth, those will continue to be important factors, but I can't predict how that's going
to
play out.
I picked Tennessee to go 7-5, and that is very much in doubt at this point. They would have to pull off, like you said, the Missouri and Kentucky wins. Can they? Yeah, they definitely could.
7-5
it's gonna be tough.
Can happen. We saw Tennessee in a season lose to Georgia State and BYU and go 7-5, and I did not think that was happening. So
true.
The task here to go 7-5 is probably easier, but still in doubt. For sure. We'll continue the conversation. Tennessee getting ready for Tennessee Tech. We'll tell you about what's going on right here, where we are. So, you're good? I apologize for anything I said this segment.
Are they serving drinks over at the Brew Hub right now?
We'll get it all figured out. Walk around the store inside. Nothing too fancy during the break here, Heather. That'll lift your spirits for sure with everything. It is a cool store. The coolest you're going to find in Knoxville. Right here where we are, Union Avenue near Market Square. We'll be here until 3 o'clock on 99.1, the Sports Animal. This is Sports 180. Thank you for being with us. We're having a great time here at Nothing Too Fancy. We'll tell you about what's going on right here. Things are happening. We're here on Union Avenue, downtown Knoxville, near Market Square. We'll be here until 3 o'clock. And right now, we welcome on the show Larry. Larry heard the sound a moment ago, the chance to score a Ford from Ted Russell Ford. Larry, thank you for calling in. Do you have a score prediction for the game tomorrow?
Yeah, I think the Vols will win 41-6. I think they'll let up late in the game. Otherwise, it'd be a little bit more of a blowout, I think.
All right, 41-6, Tennessee over Tennessee Tech. What do you want to see from the Vols tomorrow, would you say, Larry?
Well, like y'all been saying, consistent play and, kind of an answer to the quarterback.
Yeah, fans want to see it for sure. I understand. Hey, Larry, we've got your score down. Thank you so much for calling in, and good luck.
Thank you.
All right, Larry, thank you. He says 41-6, Tennessee over Tennessee Tech. And, Heather, we're going to draw a score at random from all that we've collected this week. Later this afternoon, that will be the one to watch tomorrow for the chance to win quite the vehicle from Ted Russell Ford.
I felt like Larry just wanted to say, Josh, I want to see 41-6.
I want to see 41-6 to be specific.
Especially if you draw my name out this afternoon. Like, yeah, let's get this bad boy, because Larry or whomever hits the score right on the head, they could win a 2021 Ford Mustang GT from Ted Russell Ford. This is a collectible, iconic piece of American muscle, 5-liter V8 engine. You're going to go from here to there very, very quickly. 2021 Ford Mustang GT.
Is this correct that we were able to get it into the fine print that if you win this Ford Mustang, you have to take Josh and Heather on a joyride? Is that?
Yeah, it's joyride, and you got to drive us in the parade. So there's like two little, yeah. I mean, really, bring your magnifying glass whenever you, sign all the paperwork so that you can see that. But yeah, you got to drive us in the Christmas parade, and we'll just go on a joyride. Like maybe, what, the dragon? I mean, that's not asking too much.
I'm a little nervous. We'll get it all figured out, no doubt about it.
You're in the back seat, by the way.
Yeah, but be listening through the rest of the season as well. Your chance to score Ford from Ted Russell Ford. And we're getting ready for Tennessee versus Tennessee Tech tomorrow. Streaming only, by the way. And, of course, you can hear the game on 99.1 The Sports Animal, as well as WIVK 107.7 here in Knoxville. And it's a game where, okay, you want to see some points, you want to see I'd say you don't want to see mistakes from the quarterbacks. You want to see mistakes. We've talked about penalties this week. So, of course, cleaning those up. Like if Tennessee comes out and they're making a bunch of mistakes again, they have a bunch of penalties that are frustrating against Tennessee Tech, that's not going to build confidence heading down to Gainesville for your first road game of the season. Think about that next week as well. It's first game on the road for the Vols to open up SEC play.
Yeah, and you talk about a welcome. It's going to be a hostile environment 2 weeks in a row. I mean, with the Rammer Jammers going to the Swamp this week, it's going to be just insane down there, and then a night game in the Swamp.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens. We talked about it with John Wilkerson yesterday, and unfortunately, with the caliber of opponent that you're playing and with all the problems, there's just not much outside of, hey, go out, win convincingly, that's going to change people's minds right now on who you are. Now, if Hendon Hooker goes out and plays an absolute clean game and maybe completes some deep ball passes, which we haven't seen him do, we haven't seen any of them do, we've only seen Joe Milton really attempt. But if you could go out and show, that, hey, I have a couple extra weapons in my bag that you just don't know about yet, if you're Hendon Hooker, then I think people would be encouraged by that. But as far as drastically changing people's perception of you or expectation level of you, it's just not going to happen. It would only be, you squeak out a 21-17 win and people are going to freak out.
Yeah, if that happens tomorrow, freak out, do that.
Yeah, you have our permission.
Right, with the required all due respect to Tennessee Tech. On the other side, we're talking quarterbacks all week. Byron Young's debut tomorrow.
So
you
so
get a chance to see a guy that's gotten a lot of talk behind the scenes with how well he's performed in practice and scrimmages with Tennessee's football team, Tennessee's new pass rusher on the defensive side.
Yeah, keeping it in mind that we just didn't know what to expect from this defense, but there were guys that we highlighted throughout the offseason, Juwan Mitchell, Theo Jackson. Theo Jackson's just playing really good right now.
Big
I've
positive.
Been encouraged by Jeremy Banks's play, minus the penalty, but his actual play, I'm kind of encouraged by that because I was kind of down on him and playing the big role that he was going to have to play. And then now you've got Tyler Barron on one side and Byron Young on the other. I just think that you really have a nice ability to be disruptive. And that's all. Like, you're not going to stuff everybody. You're not going to just dominate on defense. Can you force a quarterback? Could you force Anthony Richardson or whomever you're going to play next week, Emory Jones, into a fumble? I mean, are you talking a scoop and score opportunity? I mean, if you are disruptive on the defensive side of the ball, you're giving your team a chance, especially where the glimmer of hope is very faint.
Tennessee is trying to build up to get ready for next week at Florida, and that will include playing Tennessee Tech tomorrow at Neyland Stadium, noon kickoff. We'll have Vol Network coverage starting at 10:30 tomorrow morning. We'll have game day all day coverage, you guessed it, all day long right here on the Sports Animal. 90 minutes of Sports 180 to go, where we are today. Nothing too fancy. Locally owned and operated, T-shirts, accessories, gift cards, grab those as well. Got to pay for them, of course. Nothing too fancy where we are today on Union Avenue near Market Square, one of our favorite stops in Knoxville. Tell you more about what's going on here. We'll get you ready for Tennessee and talk about that quarterback position with Will Shelton of GameDayOnRockyTop.com when we come back here on 99.1, the Sports Animal.
Great thing about sports is it never stops. Here's another 60-second sports minute on the Sports Animal.
Thursday Night Football NFL score last night. The Washington football team hit a field goal with no time left to beat the Giants 32-29. Washington quarterback Taylor Heinicke threw for 336 yards and two touchdowns, and Daniel Jones, the Giants quarterback, threw for 249 yards and rushed for 95 yards, also threw and ran for a touchdown. Major League Baseball games going on tonight. The Braves will be in San Francisco, take on the Giants at 9:45. The Reds host the Dodgers at 7:10. The Cubs face the Brewers at 8:10. The Indians and the Yankees play at 7:05. Cumulus Knoxville High School football games tonight on FM 99.1. Catholic will take on Macaulay on AM 990. CAK hosts Webb, and on News Talk 98.7, Hardin Valley will take on Bradley Central. All three of those games kick off at 7:30. Native Design and Hardscapes, Knoxville's premier landscaping and hardscape designer. They're ready to turn your home or outdoor business space into reality. Your new outdoor space awaits. Native Design and Hardscapes, making backyard dreams come true. Schedule a consultation today at nativetn.com. Have a good Friday afternoon. I'm Logan Ward.
This is Sports 180. Thank you for being with us. We're having a great time here at Nothing Too Fancy. Thanks to everybody who has stopped by and said hello and checked out what's going on inside. We are set up here on the sidewalk at Nothing Too Fancy. Great locally owned store. We've both shopped here many times. Nothing Too Fancy. You can shop online, nothingtoofancy.com. We'll be here until 3 o'clock. We are excited to go to the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline to welcome to the show Will Shelton, GameDayOnRockyTop.com. Will, we never get a chance to talk to you about quarterback battles at Tennessee, so here is that opportunity. What do you make of it, the conversation, where the fans stand this week with Tennessee's QB position?
Well, I think unless something is glaringly obvious from this game, if Joe Milton plays incredibly well and Hendon Hooker throws two interceptions, or vice versa, it's just going to be hard, because it's Tennessee Tech, it's going to be hard to really come to definitive conclusions. I do think one thing... watch the pace between when both of those guys play. Milton has the offense playing at a faster pace than what Hendon Hooker has so far. You expect that with the starter versus the backup and the number of practice reps and all that stuff. But maybe we can get some kind of indication from this thing just how badly Josh Heupel wants to go fast, and how important, or how central that is to his entire offensive philosophy. If Hendon Hooker, for whatever reason, just can't operate it as fast as Joe Milton can, then do they just automatically go to Joe Milton no matter what, no matter how many deep balls he hits or how they have to change up the process or whatever the case may be. So I fully expect, unless something unforeseen happens, unless one of these guys plays really poorly against an FCS opponent, or unless Josh Heupel does what I think would surprise people and plays one of these guys way more than he plays the other guy, then I think we're still just going to be talking about this next week, and really most of the answers that we're going to get, as usual with a Tennessee season, right? Most of the answers that we're going to get are going to come after the Florida game.
Will, my confidence level has been shaken in my original win total machine number, which was 7-5. Where's people's confidence level at right now with either getting to 7-5 or settling for 6-6? Just where are we at right now as a collective in the optimism of the season?
So on our side, the community total, it was 6.74 right before the Bowling Green game. And you, even in that performance, you kind of Tennessee got the win, but it went down to 6.6 last week. And it's, part of it's just what happens when you lose a game that's kind of a 50-50 game. You lose that 50 or 40% that Tennessee fans, you don't get that one back against Pittsburgh. So today, our community expected win total is 5.94, which of course means that everybody mostly is expecting Tennessee to still get to 6 wins. If you go and look through the individual games, the Kentucky, Missouri, Ole Miss, Florida, certainly Georgia and Alabama, there's none of these games where fans are giving Tennessee a greater than 50% chance to win, other than South Carolina and Vanderbilt and South Alabama and tomorrow, certainly. But this is one strength of the win total machine is, even if you don't think Tennessee has a better than 50% chance, even if you would call Tennessee an underdog at Missouri, at Kentucky, against Ole Miss, against Florida, whatever, the idea that Tennessee could get one of those and get to 6-6 if they can also beat South Carolina and Vanderbilt, that is very much alive and well within the fan base. So that's one reason. This is a week where I think the win total machine is actually helpful, because if you're just picking the rest of the schedule and assigning a win or a loss to every one of these all or nothing, then you might have Tennessee at 5-7 this week. But I think that's really kind of where most folks are, is the expectation is, I don't know that I'd point to one of them and say, oh, yeah, definitely they're going to get Missouri at Missouri, or, oh, they're going to get Kentucky and Lexington. But the idea that they can get one of those will be big. That South Carolina game, I think we should have known this going into the year, just the narrative of Tennessee's program and South Carolina's program, both starting over, all that stuff. But that South Carolina game is shaping up to be the most important one of the year, because unless Tennessee upsets the Gators, even if they beat Missouri, you got to get South Carolina. If you want 6 on this schedule, the Gamecocks are very, very, very important to get. And I think most fans would project Tennessee to get it. But that one, I think right now, that's the one you kind of circle from a ways away and say, this one really will be very, very important for Josh Heupel and these guys to get.
Totally agree. Will Shelton is with us, game day on RockyTop.com. Will, what do you think about what you saw defensively from the Vols, where they give up 41 points, but there are things I think that a lot of people are feeling optimistic about? Plus, you have Byron Young making his debut this weekend.
Yeah, some of this is just we're still learning how to watch a team that plays this way play. So they give up 41 points, but Pitt ran 80-plus plays. Some of this gets into the penalty conversation, too. If you're going to have games with 150, 160-plus snaps, automatically you're going to have more penalties. Now, it can't be 13 every week, but it's just part of it, of playing at this pace. You're going to get more penalties. But I think that the defense did what you want them to do against Pittsburgh. So much of Heupel's stuff and so much of the way I think that we're going to end up watching his teams here is about possessions, getting off the field. Certainly they need to create some turnovers, and they haven't done that. But they got off the field so many times when they needed to get off the field. I think you really have to give those guys a ton of credit. I think you got to give Tim Banks a ton of credit. I think you got to give Kenny Pickett a ton of credit, too. I mean, some of that is just him. He did a good job getting Pitt first downs when they absolutely had to have them. But I come away from that one feeling pretty good about Tennessee's defense. Here again, let's see him next week. Let's see him against a team that's got, similar to better athletes, an SEC team with good skill position players, and a team maybe that can challenge Tennessee in the middle of the field a little more with speed and that sort of thing. But as far as a first impression goes, the preconceived notion I think a lot of us had that, all right, Tennessee's going to have to win these things 50-49 or whatever, some of that may still be true just because of the number of snaps that both teams are going to get, but I thought they did their job in terms of getting off the field. And if you want turnovers, the best way to do that is get to the quarterback. And, yeah, certainly Byron Young is I think I'd love to see Byron Young get like a snap on the first possession, and they just leave, like, sit him and leave him alone, and don't give Florida anything to pay attention to or whatever. Like, just give us one to maintain the excitement, and then let's see what happens with that next week.
Will, serious question. Are we in for four-hour games, like, even tomorrow versus Tennessee Tech? Is 4 hours the new, like, three-hour college football game for Vol fans?
Yeah, I'm afraid so. I think about that, the Butch Jones Texas A&M game where there was, like, 4,000 turnovers in it or whatever, and you're like, it's nightfall, and you think, this game started at 3:30, didn't it? Like, I'm afraid, yeah, that's just what's going to start happening here. So, you know, tomorrow, like, this should be a game Tennessee does whatever they want. If he plays, whoever the number two quarterback is, when they play tomorrow, they need to play. Hendon Hooker threw a pass against Bowling Green. Like, Heupel is not somebody to bring in the backups and just have them hand off. If Harrison Bailey gets in this game, he needs to throw. Like, I think Heupel will do that. And so, yeah, I just think that's kind of part of it. I think there's going to be there's a lot of this that just feels like basketball to me. That there's going to be some portion of the casual Tennessee fan base that no matter what the score is like, I'm going to check back at the start of the fourth quarter and see what's going on then, because it's just hard. It's hard to get a rhythm and a feel for the flow of the game because, yeah, it is just so very different than, certainly different than Jeremy Pruitt, but even still different than Butch Jones without a lot of weirdness, or different than Dooley or really anything we've seen in a long time.
Hey, Will, last thing, we'll get you out of here. Will Shelton is with us, game day on RockyTop.com. How do you view the Alabama-Florida game, two teams that I'm guessing you're not pulling for often as they're going up against one another?
Yeah, I think for this year, from a Tennessee perspective, really no matter what happens, there's something you can talk yourself into. If Bama beats them by 100, then you tell yourself Florida's not very good. If Florida loses a close game, you'll tell yourself, oh, those guys are so heartbroken, they almost got them. Even, you know, ignore the fact that the Gators might be really good if they almost get them, and maybe they'll have a letdown. Or if something weird happens and Florida wins, then you could tell yourself, well, those guys, you know, it'd be easy to catch them being too high from last week or whatever. So, see, I'm already ready. Yeah. This is what happens when you play an FCS opponent before you play the Gators. It's not good for the fan base. But, yeah, you know, we're also just so many years from those Tebow-Alabama games, the 08 and 09, where Tennessee had been good. Tennessee won the East in 07, and so I remember watching those SEC championship games and thinking, I hate this so much, you know, like there's no good outcome here. And now, credit Alabama, like Bama is, what, two touchdowns better than Florida is here in two possessions, or in Vegas, two possessions. And so Tennessee fans would certainly love to be in that range. They'd love to be Florida in that scenario. So, you know, it'll be fun to watch in terms of playing the Gators next week to see what Anthony Richardson does, to look for reasons to believe and that sort of thing. But, yeah, I mean, we've just it was worse. Them playing each other and feeling like you didn't know who to cheer for was a worse experience watching the game when Tennessee was on a similar level. So, unfortunately, we got a little time before we get back there.
Probably a little bit of time. But you know what? Time can be your friend at times as well. Game day on RockyTop.com. What's going on there at the website for Tennessee fans?
Something I don't think I've written about in a very long time, if at all, is we've heard about tight ends this week. Tennessee tight ends have 35% of the completions. Like, this can't last. It would be bad if it did. It would mean something is going really wrong and Tennessee's checking it down all over the place. But, I mean, these guys are and someone had this I heard this stat earlier this week before I looked it up and saw it too, but Chris Brown has the record for tight end receptions in a season at Tennessee, and it's only 41. I mean, like, that's barely over three per game. Like, that's the best it's ever been done at Tennessee. So, really encouraging, and not something we saw at UCF from Heupel, too. We wrote about that as well. Those guys really didn't throw the tight end at all. So, a huge, huge amount of credit to Princeton Fant and Jacob Warren. That those guys, Tennessee needed them last week, and they were ready to go, man. Those guys did a great job. So be curious to see. Tennessee's got to hit balls downfield to receivers. Everybody knows that, no matter who the quarterback is. But it's nice to see when that's not working for you at all. Tennessee was able to go to not one but two tight ends and do it very effectively. So we had a good time looking at that this week and just saying, look, it can't be 35%. That's way too high. But a normal Tennessee team in the last 10 years They only complete about 14% of their receptions to tight ends. So I'll be curious to see somewhere between 14 and 35, where's that number going to end up?
Gameday on RockyTop.com is the website. Go check it out. Will, enjoy this weekend. We appreciate the time as always, and we'll talk to you again next week.
All right. Thanks, y'all.
Will Shelton joins us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline. We will continue here on Sports 180. We have a pop-up fact, earmuffs, Will West. When we come back here on Sports 180, we'll talk more Tennessee heading into the weekend, college football heading into the weekend, Fat Jack at 2:30, and we'll do all of that right here at Nothing Too Fancy, where we are on Union Avenue, downtown Knoxville, near Market Square. We'll be here until 3 o'clock. You have to check out the store. Check them out online, nothingtoofancy.com. As we continue on Sports 180 this afternoon on 99.1, the Sports Animal. Sports 180 continues. Having a great time on this Football Friday at a great spot. Nothing Too Fancy where we're hanging out this afternoon.
Locally owned, locally operated, and, man, Dustin and Lisa just doesn't get better than those guys. And if you need stuff, they actually make the shirts here. I mean, everything is done
right
here.
You get the local printing, which is really cool.
It is so cool. And these guys have just put together a store that is incredible. All the little mementos, there's so much detail, so much authenticity that goes into Nothing Too Fancy and how they curate the store. And then all the stuff that they have. I mean, great t-shirts, great assortment of sweatshirts. There's a little chill, you know, that's coming in the evenings and early
fall
in the mornings.
Is right around the corner. Yes,
we are getting closer and closer. I'm definitely picking up the Tennessee. It looks like handwriting. It's a really soft sweatshirt. They've got game day fanny packs if you need a clear way.
Yeah, those are cool
to clear bag to get into the stadium. The sweetest soda pop, wild as a mink t-shirt, sports and alcohol. I bought that 2 years ago whenever Tennessee went ahead and lifted the ban on legal alcohol in the stadiums. Now you can get you a hard seltzer in there. I just absolutely love this. So come by and see us at Nothing Too Fancy. And also, shouts to everybody like walking by that's like, hey, love the show. Listen to the show. We have beer here. We're open. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
this is just wonderful. So just really digging being in downtown today.
Yeah, that sounded like maybe we needed one, was the word after the opening segment, hour number two, breaking down the schedule where things are. Holding steady.
My only concern is, and you know, you pull out the schedule and how you described it, you were like, well, nobody's cruising to 6-6, which you're 100% accurate on, but it's just like, golly, you can't get to 6-6, right? I mean, you could literally be sitting at 4 wins going into the final 2 weeks of the season, and that, to me, is just, that's a whole lot of not fun.
Ahead of the pop-up fact, let me ask you this. Which sounds better? So either way in the scenario, you need to beat South Carolina and Vanderbilt. So what sounds better, needing to go 1-1 against Kentucky and Missouri, or 1-3 against Kentucky, Missouri, Florida, Ole Miss? Which sounds like a more doable task? Because those are the same things. But it opens up the opportunity of, hey, what if you could pull off an upset against one of those other two teams?
Yep.
And then you actually don't have to beat one of Kentucky or Missouri. So do you like hearing 1-3 against four teams, or 1-1 against two?
I guess 1-1 against two, because I really don't know, unless there's an injury to Matt Corral. Like, I have Ole Miss just kind of in the that's probably not gonna work out for you category.
Well, probably not.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, thank you. Thank you very much.
Let's call a spade, right? And so if your best shot is going 1-1 versus Kentucky, Mizzou, you got to split those games. Yes, yeah. It puts pressure. But you know what? This is SEC football. These guys, they need a little pressure, you know?
Yeah.
Like, let's do the darn thing. I mean, I think you said it a couple of weeks ago. You're like, where's the pride? And I'm saying that today.
Yeah.
I want to tell some D's jokes. Let's get Nick Saban on the line.
Did you hear Saban, by the way? I guess it was on his radio show, but he was asking, you know, this or these could mean anything. It's up to you to decide what that means.
I love it. Just
it's a regular jokester.
Yeah, we need that little bit of humanity from Saban, because at this point in time, I feel like he's just an alien sent to destroy the one thing that we love still
on this planet. I changed my answer from the face-off. I said Jason Sudeikis, my favorite current comedic actor. Nick Saban. Yeah.
Well, the comedy performance he put on before the Mercer.
He's a modern-day Jim Carrey. Yeah.
Before the Mercer game, you know, all that rat poison the national media was spewing at Alabama, just dominating Miami.
The space between Bama's receivers. Oh, there it is.
That's just
That's a direct quote.
I'm calling my lawyer on that. That is a misrepresentation to the fullest. For context, people, I said after that this week. That is because Florida, my number one most hated team, always will be, now and forever.
It's not what the tape says. Let's hit the pop-up fact. All right, Heather, last night was close. Giants almost won the game, but they did not.
I went out on a limb yesterday, and the Giants punished me for it.
Our pop-up fact today, the New York Giants have the worst record in the NFL since the start of the 2017 season. The Giants have started the last five seasons, five straight years, 0-2. Last time that happened, the 07-11 St. Louis Rams.
Woo! So you're telling me the Giants are the new Browns?
It seems to be.
Yeah.
Worst record in the NFL since the start of 17 and five straight seasons starting out 0-2, meaning the fans are essentially saying, maybe we're not out of it, but it feels like we're already out of it.
Yeah, no kidding. Especially in such a the best thing, though, would be it is a dismal division. There is no just clear-cut world beater out there. At least Dallas hasn't stepped up to the plate yet. So, this could go a lot of different ways.
Sure.
A lot of different ways, but I feel you, Giants fans. That's absolutely rough. And after Dallas's performance against Tampa, even though that's a really good Tampa team and I probably shouldn't be down on my team after a loss like that, like the Browns. Like, I don't think Browns fans should be feeling down. I mean, it just goes to show you what's going to happen in the AFC title game. Like, if you get a lead on Kansas City, you just pray at halftime. Please, Lord, let us keep this lead. I don't know, like, with Pat Mahomes, how you just battle him. It's just unreal. So Browns fans shouldn't feel bad. Dallas fans, our defense is just terrible, and then we had some injuries, so it's just not going to be good. But
Giants fans, you should feel bad. That is our pop-up fact. It's presented by Burton McKinnish Law.
Yeah, you guys actually should feel bad. Burton McKinnish Law offices in Maryville, Sevierville, Western North Carolina, and Southeastern Kentucky. So if you have a family law, divorce, criminal defense, DUI, Social Security, or personal injury case that you're facing, it's time for you to trust Burton McKinnish Law. Visit burtonmckinnish.com.
We have another hour of Sports 180 to go. We'll continue to talk football heading into the weekend, and we'll continue to do so at Nothing Too Fancy on Union Avenue, downtown Knoxville, near Market Square, locally owned and operated at Nothing Too Fancy. This is Sports 180 on 99.1, the Sports Animal.